I'd like to go back to outline number two. We did not complete the reading of that outline. I hope that you still have that in your package. Outline number two, we're not going to read all the points. Actually, if you go back and read, you will see that more or less we covered just about all the points. I think we may not have, we won't get to the last point, point six, but we probably will touch that tomorrow toward the very end. But I would like to read Romans 5. Can you find that? It's toward the end, maybe at the bottom of the second page. Romans 5. Are you with me? Let's read this together, please. You can see that this point is based on Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, which tell us, it's a very strong and quite particular verse, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. There's a principle. Basically, God is saying, you can't fool him. You can't get away with it. Whatever we sow, we reap. We might sow to the flesh, and therefore we will reap, it says, corruption of the flesh. Or we sow to the Spirit, and then we reap eternal life. Okay. Maybe the sisters could read point A, and the brothers could read point B, these two short points. Sisters, please. Amen. Brothers.
In the church life, we are constantly sowing tiny seeds. To be careful in our sowing is to be watchful concerning our living.
Everything we say, or hear says to our children, and everything we do with them is a seed, little seed sown. So we're always speaking, whether by our words or by our actions. We touched a little bit about this earlier in the day. We might just be talking concerning the church life, concerning the activities of the meeting, concerning some particular saints, concerning the leading ones. To us, that's very common, but we may not realize. As our children are growing, their awareness is developing. Their maturity, even at their ages of 2, 3, 5, 7, they start to absorb things in a different way. And if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, we had our freedom before the children were born. We had our freedom when they were infants. But now, when they are of that age, they can absorb things. Maybe it's about some of your family members and relatives. You could say that freely before, but now there's consequence. That's what the word is saying. There's a consequence. And one day, you will reap the consequence of your action today. And I love this. Actually, these sentences are taken from the life study of Galatians. I still remember hearing this message live. And it touched me that, as it says, we have it in point B. We're sowing tiny seeds. We're sowing tiny seeds all the time. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is not to make us paranoid, but this is to make us careful.
Yes.
To make us exercise. Oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe we stop the meeting now and we all go pray. I wish we could do this. But then we'd take so long to get you all back. We wouldn't finish on time. But I think we all might have something to pray about. You know, this would be worthwhile, saints, to take Romans 5, A, B, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, either tonight, tomorrow morning, sometime this week, and just pray over the word. Pray over the word. God is not mocked. Amen. Lord, you are something. You are the seven eyes. You have the seven spirits that are the seven eyes. You see everything, Lord. And Lord, I'm sorry that I wasn't so attentive before. But Lord, operate in me.
Amen.
Be with me with those seven eyes. And burn into me. And Lord, next time I'm sowing some improper seed, speak to me.
Amen.
And give him permission. Say, Lord, don't just bother me after I say it. How about bother me before I say it? And shine on me and prevent me from sowing to the flesh. Because not only I don't want to reap corruption in myself, all the more I don't want my children to reap corruption or others around me. I think to have a transaction with the Lord like this could have a little effect on our life and adjust our living. This is, and we're going to talk more about these verses later. I want to give you these three sets of verses that we're going to fellowship about tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 17 and 19. Actually, this message three tonight that we have, this outline, is based on John 17, 19. Well, we'll get there, you'll see. Also, I want to talk about Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25, 26, and 27. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, we gave a conference in London just on these three verses here. Was that last time or the time before? Just these. I could have written 25 to 27. Did you see that? Like, why did he do that? Why didn't he just write? I don't know if you picked that up. But I wanted to write it this way because we're going to focus on this verse later on. And then finally, I want to talk about 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at especially verses 16 and 17. Okay. Well, here in 3:16, I just say this now. In 3:16, you know this verse. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And then it says it's profitable. It's profitable for four things. For teaching. For conviction. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. With the purpose that the man of God would be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Yeah. Profitable for teaching. You know, this word teaching there really means revelation. Our teaching should bring people revelation. If it doesn't, it's merely the transfer of knowledge. I know it, I speak it, now you know it. It's good because it's the Bible. But it's not profitable to you yet until that teaching opens your eyes. Opens your eyes to see something. Then it affects your life. So you might be praying over Galatians chapter 6. Oh, whatever a man sows, whatever a man sows. Lord, show me my sowing. Show me how I sow to the flesh or to the spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, I give my mouth to you. I give my lips to you. I give my tongue to you. Lord, may these lips sow to the spirit. Right there, the Lord might speak. I will. I'll shine on you about this. But how about last Thursday at the dinner table when you spoke about brother so-and-so in front of all your children? Like a specific, like a, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, yes, Lord. It's good to say yes, Lord. It's not good to say, but Lord, it was true. It was accurate. And he is. Whatever. But it's good to say, yes, Lord. Yes, like that woman. You know that woman, that Syrophoenician woman? That she was wanting to get her daughter healed. But she was a Gentile. She said, Lord, son of David. You know, she's a Gentile. She shouldn't be calling him Lord. Why is she calling him son of David? That's a very Jewish term. She learned that. She practiced that. It wasn't even genuine. She was just like, ah. And he says, it's not right to cast the children back to the, right? No, what is it? First he said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right. Basically, she said, oh yeah? And what are you doing here? Why are you all the way up here in my Gentile land? He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. You know, he referred to her as a little dog. If someone were to refer to you as a little dog, you might say, what? She said, yes, Lord. You look at your Bible. It's in your Bible. She said, yes, Lord. But even the little dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He stopped and said, in all of Israel, I haven't seen so great faith. Yes, Lord. It's good to have that risk. Yes, Lord. The Lord shines on you. Yes, Lord. I'm guilty. I did it. I repent. I need you. When the light comes, the teaching becomes revelation. Then there's some, what? Conviction. The order of these words is very meaningful and purposeful in the scripture. For teaching, which means revelation. Then there's conviction. You know what is conviction? This word conviction is not the word condemnation. In my mind, we might think it's the same thing. God condemns you. No. It doesn't condemn you. You know, the word conviction actually means that you blame yourself. So the light shines and you see your condition. Then you say, oh Lord, suppose on this shirt I had a stain and I didn't notice. Then I walk by a mirror and I go, oh, I see, oh, that's conviction. I'm condemning myself. God's not condemning. God's not pointing out. I'm pointing out because now I have light and I, oh, Lord, I am sin. Lord, I'm just sin. That's conviction. Now, when the enemy comes and speaks to you for condemnation. The goal and result is to bring you down. When God brings light and you see yourself and have conviction, it's to release you from that condition.
Amen.
That's why the next thing is correction. We need an adjustment in our walk, in our living, with our family, with our children. We need some kind of change in our attitude. Then the next point is what? Instruction in righteousness. It's interesting. This is the only one that has a modifier. Instruction in righteousness. That, what is that? That means in being right. Right with God, right with man, right with your dog, right with the door, right with the wall, right with the policeman, right with everything. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I know there are some professional baseball players. You have a team here, right? The Blue Jays, Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know if any of them ever did this, but I know in the professional sports, both in the major leagues and in the minor leagues, there are cases where a player has a bad game, and then he gets taken out of the game, and he walks into the dugout, you know, where the players sit, and he punches the wall, and then he breaks his hand, and then has to leave for 3 months. He can't play. I don't know if you've ever seen such a thing. You know, he should go back and apologize to that wall. He damaged the wall. We had one player on the Yankees, on the New York Yankees. This was decades ago. He took his bat, and he beat the Gatorade, you know, jug, and he broke it so that none of the players could drink Gatorade. They had to go replace. He was not right with the Gatorade barrel. You know, when the Lord convicts you, corrects you, instruction in righteousness, you're even right with the wall. You're right with the door. You know, sometimes we kick the door or slam the door. Lord should shine. Say, sorry, door. I won't do that again. Sometimes we slam it, break it. Then now we got to pay for it and fix it. What's that? That's reaping what you sow. The Lord didn't wait for, you know, later. Right there, you're like, oh, I did this to myself. Praise the Lord. Well, you don't say praise the Lord. But eventually, when you can say praise the Lord, now you're reaping eternal life. How does that come? And this is my main burden tonight. How does that come? Through having living transactions with this book, with the Word of God, with the Bible. So tonight, I'd like to repeat these four words that we had earlier. The first one was our person, right? We covered this. Our person is our way. Then we covered the pattern. And message three tonight is especially on this point, pattern. Then we covered what? Priests. And actually, before getting into this next outline, I want to say one more thing about priests. And then we covered, or have been covering, prayer. And tonight, I want to add one more. It doesn't start with a P. Did you notice they all start with P? Yeah. That's also for some little emphasis to help you remember. What was that? Oh, it was the four P's. And you might be able to remember the points a little better. I just gave you a little way, like how to teach the young people. You know, okay. Anyway, the Word of God. The Word of God. Okay. We're coming to pattern and word. That's the burden tonight. Pattern and word. But I want to say one more thing about priests. I mentioned a little bit to the serving saints this afternoon, the ones who were here in the afternoon meeting. It's very interesting. In both Hebrew and in Greek, the primary languages, the original languages of the Bible, although there are some other languages, you know, Aramaic and so on, but the primary languages are Hebrew and Greek. Both languages have different words that we translate into English, and I think also French, Spanish, Korean, Chinese, you know, for the word service. Service. So you see the word service in the Old Testament. Actually, what's the Hebrew word? Different contexts, different words in Hebrew. So there is a word for the priestly service. The priestly service. And there's another word for military service. You know, we even talk like this, military service. People are in the armed forces, serve in the armed forces. And don't we say they serve in the military? We say serve, military service. And so in the book of Numbers, very interesting. The book of Numbers, actually the main point, the numbering, the reason the book is called Numbers, is for the army. And people have to like register and say their pedigree, right, their heritage and so on. And so that's where we get this number, 603,000 and so on, of the ones in the army, 20 and older. That's why we surmise that there were about 2 million Israelites at the time. Well, what's interesting is it talks about the service, the military service, by the age of 20 and so on. But in chapter 4 of the book of Numbers, there's like a little hidden revelation there. There it's talking about the priests in the Aaronic priests in Levites. Those of the family of Aaron, the priests had to be from the ages 30 to 50. They would come earlier at 25 and serve for 5 years as apprentices. And then from 30 to 50. And then after 50, they retire from that form of service and then become mentors or tutors to help the younger priests to serve. Well, three times in chapter 4, it talks about the service of the priests. But what's interesting is that word service in Numbers 4:3, for example, is not the word for priestly service. It's the word for military service. It's actually very close to the word warfare. So the priest is not just signing up for priestly service. The priest is signing up for warfare. Why does the Bible, which doesn't waste words, why does God in the Bible have this in the book of Numbers? Just to show us this point, that in the New Testament, serving the Lord as a priest is actually the way we fight the spiritual battle. And do you remember that this morning we talked about God wanted all his people to be priests, but never got it. Never got it. Eventually, only one tribe had the privilege to serve as priests. That's the Levites. The closest, at least in my estimation, the closest that God ever got to the universal priesthood was on the night of the Passover, where the parents, the families, all participated in the priestly service. So then we pointed out, all parents are priests. All grandparents are priests. Well, tonight I tell you, If you're a priest, then you're a soldier. If you need to be a priest in your family, then that means you have to be a soldier in your family. You have to be a warrior. You're fighting the battle. And we are fighting corporately for all our next generation. And remember, the book of Exodus, I don't know if you're impressed by this picture, Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh is somewhat nervous. You know what this tells us? I believe this, you know, we looked at this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Everything that happened to Israel is a type. Everything is for our admonition in the New Testament church. Does this not mean that Satan gets nervous when he looks at our children? Uh-oh. He has an uh-oh. If they rise up properly, I will be defeated. That's why Satan hates the next generation. Satan hates the next generation. To kind of support this, I give you this verse. This is Psalm 127. Could someone find this? Psalm 127, verses 3, 4, and 5. I don't think this is anywhere in your outline. Psalm 127, verses 3, 4, and 5. Please listen, brother.
Behold.
You can maybe stand up.
Behold, children are the heritage of Jehovah.
Amen.
The fruit of the womb, a reward.
Amen.
Verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a mighty man,
right,
so are the children of one's youth.
Amen.
Verse 5. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them.
Amen.
He will not be put to shame,
right,
when he speaks with enemies in the gate.
Huh. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver. You know, the quiver is the little, you know, in the back that the archer takes the... Imagine you have 7 arrows. Enemy comes and you're 2, 3, 4 of them are gone. You're not prepared to fight. What happened to the 4 arrows? Someone stole them. The enemy does this. He's stolen some of our arrows. We need to preserve all our arrows. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, when children are introduced for the first time, it's to what? What's the function? To subdue the earth and conquer it, fulfilling which aspect of God's eternal purpose? Image or dominion?
Dominion.
And in Psalm 127, the children, they're arrows. Arrows are for fighting. Oh, Satan knows this already. We didn't know this. We may have been short in our view. How important is the service with the children, the young people, the university students, even the young adults? Oh, by the time you reach this age, you really can fight for the Lord, the young adulthood. But many of our children, they don't reach that with us in following the Lord. Those who do are the most useful in the church life. The most useful. We need more and we need to recover. We need to recover. Actually, from my viewpoint, in many places, many are coming home. Have you noticed?
Amen.
I hope that you have more experience of this here.
Amen.
Many are coming home.
Amen.
They're coming back to the Lord.
Amen.
Some of them, you know, when they come back to the Lord, after they get married and have their own children, then they think, oh, this world is terrible. I have to go back to the church. I want my child to be raised in the church. And some of them bring the kids and they still don't come. Then one day, The little girl says, "Daddy, won't you go to church with us?" Oh, touches his heart, his conscience, and he comes. You'll see this. I've seen this. I'm seeing this. In these last 10, 15 years, the Lord is doing it. Don't give up, saints. Don't give up. Proverbs promises, 22. Raise up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not turn away from it. Hold the promise. Hold the promise. Let us pray. Let us pray with faith. And don't trust the things you can see. It's true. Sometimes the more you pray, the worse the situation gets. Don't be thrown off by that. That's because the enemy he's fighting. Just hold the promise and keep praying for every one of our children who have been consecrated to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord in his time will bring them home. And you know what they'll be? Arrows. And the enemy knows, and he's fighting. The point I want to make here is this. We're the priests. And we need to fulfill our priestly warrior function. Saints, I know it is a battle to maintain a morning fellowship with the Lord day after day after day. That's a battle. There are some who've been raised with us and they still can't get it. They still battle with the habit. Of course, we don't want anyone to be condemned. If you can have that time of fellowship with the Lord at another time in the day, then do so. But history, our experience, and the Bible all confirm the best time is the first time. There's something special about giving the first moments of the day to the Lord Jesus. The first of everything. To give him the first of everything. The first of our day, the first of our time, the first of our year, the first of our paycheck, the first of our possessions, the first of everything. Honor God. It says, honor God with your substance. That means even with your material things, I like to give the first to the Lord. You know, by trade, some of you know. No, don't. I'm an accountant. I studied accounting. Went to business school, and that was my profession. So, some saints, even after I dropped my job and started to serve the Lord, like in this fashion, they still would ask me some things. I don't know, I don't know things about finance or whatever, But they think, oh, because of that background. So they ask me. And some saints, I remember two families, they came to me and they asked me, could you help us manage our finances? You know, Brother Washman Nee has a wonderful message on managing our finances. I if you haven't read that, I hope you could read that. I hope all the married couples could read that. I hope all the engaged couples could read that and make a pact. We'll follow this. You know Brother Nee's way of managing your finances? Give all your money away. That's the best way. Just give it away. Because give and it will be given to you. What an economy. Give and it will be given. So, and anyway, just read that. You'll get more than what I just said. But the point is, these saints came. Oh, brother, could you help us? Because we just can't get it together. You know, we don't have this training. I said, I mean, if you'd like, I could try. I don't know. And so they came. I remember, and I told them, well, I remember I sat there at the table with them. I told them, well, saints, if we're going to do this, then the only way I can help you is if we have full transparency. And you just lay everything out. If not, I can't really help you. So these saints, they responded. They told me everything. Whatever. We spend this, da, 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 da. And this family, you know, they just didn't have a lot of money. But I noticed, I said, saints, where is the offering? They go, oh, well, you know, Brother Ricky, this is very hard, this is very hard, whatever. So when we have some, basically I said, when we have leftover, we give what we can. I said, well, saints, I think this is your problem. Give first to the Lord. Give first to the Lord. Bible says, seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added. Say amen. Do you have the grace to say amen to that? Give first to the Lord. Don't figure it all out. Let the Lord carry you. Okay. Anyway, I don't know if they did. I don't know if they didn't. They never talked to me about finances again. I don't know if they got offended at me. I don't know. But they never asked me any more questions. So, and then another family, the same thing. And then I said, the percentage was not even 10%. And you know, in the New Testament, there's no rule. There's no rule. But a good guideline, according to the Old Testament type, is at least 10%. And then in the ministry, you'll find this encouragement. Actually, you know, we don't talk about money. Hardly ever do we talk about money. I think, I hope, no one here would misunderstand. And I hope we don't have any, like, new ones that would misunderstand or misinterpret what I'm saying even now. We don't need your money. We don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. You need to give away your money. That's the need. You need to get released from your money. You should find somewhere to give it. If not here, somewhere. That's the point. Okay. And this is really true. This is really true. We could give many testimonies. There are saints here who have a hidden life with this. That's why we don't even talk about it, because we don't want to lose the blessing. Sometimes you talk too much, you lose the blessing. So, but anyway, at least 10%. That's what I encourage. Oh, I was telling you, Brother Lee, you'll see this in the ministry. And he has said some occasions, especially in the 80s, when we were talking about having more saints serving full time, he talked like this. He says, if you would give 10% to the church, if all the saints would give 10%, and we raise our children that if you get $1, give 10 cents. Just raise your children that way, with that kind of habit. Okay, all the needs of the church would be met everywhere. And then, on top of that, give 5% to the Lord's work. To the Lord's work. Then we could have many full-timers. And out of every 20 saints, we could support one. So if you have 100 saints, you could have one full-timer. If you have 500 saints, you could have 5 full-timers. Like this, something like this. So I don't know how many saints had the grace to do that and so on. But we pass this on. Especially, I like to pass this on to the young couples. Learn this right away. Learn this as soon as possible. And you will be blessed. It's not that, and this is not fundraising. This is not fundraising. Oh, we need your money. No, if you don't give it, somebody else will. God has his way. God will not be stopped by your stinginess. So don't worry about that. But we have the need to let go. What does it say in Timothy? Paul told Timothy, the love of money is a root, not the root, not the only root, a root of all evil. Be careful. You say, oh, I don't love money. you need conviction. You need light. Oh, I don't love money. Some sooner or later, you may get tested over that statement. I'll just drop it there. Anyway, we need conviction, correction, instruction. Saints, we're fighting for the next generation. The priestly warrior in the morning to make time for the Lord. Right? That's how we got to this money thing. Give the first of everything, first of your money. Let me tell you, before I venture off, I was so touched. I was so touched. There was one sister, I remember. This is the only testimony I've heard like this. This was in the 1980s. New sister, she came into the church life. She was really on fire for the Lord. And And then she got, I think it was her first like salary job, you know, like her kind of quote unquote first real job kind of thing in her estimation. And we were covering these points like this in the young people's meeting at the time. She heard this fellowship. You know what she did? You know, in that time, now I don't know if people actually get paychecks anymore. You know what I mean? Things get automatic deposit kind of thing, you know. But how do we say, back in the day, do people use this expression anymore? Back in the day, you would, like someone would come around in the office and give you your paycheck, like this, you know, like this. So she got a paycheck. You know what she did? She endorsed it and put the whole thing in the offering box, the first check. She, that touched me so much. I never did that. I never did that. But, in the freshness of her love for the Lord. You know, some people, their first paycheck, they have plans already for their first, real paycheck. Like, you know. But this sister, out of the purity of her heart, praise the Lord. It's just wonderful. There's something about giving the first. And then in our time, the first. Lord, I'd like to give you the first part of my day. Before speaking, interacting with anyone. You know, some of us may have had that habit. And then these things were invented. These things. And now our first interaction is with this. I won't ask for a show of hands. Don't worry about it. But it's maybe your alarm is there. Maybe, you know, that's okay. Maybe even your Bible is there. I would say actually better if it would not be. You know, there's still paper. You know, better if it would not be. But if it is, don't worry. We can still have fellowship. It's no problem. There's no problem. But not only your Bible is there, your notifications are on. There's some, and it's very difficult for some of us to resist the temptation. All scripture is God breathed. All scripture is. And there's, is it Instagram? Is it a text? Is it an email? Is it? Lord Jesus, and how long do you last before actually checking? Oh, it was nothing. Back, and it's hard to get back to exactly where you were. It's difficult to get back. So I like my first interaction of my day is not there, but with Him. Lord Jesus, I love you. I need you. Thank you again. Thank you. You gave me another day. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. And what we talked, I think it was this morning, beholding and inquiring. Lord, I just want to behold you. I just want to live in you. I just want to be with you. Maintaining that and then developing our personal fellowship with the Lord. So that we can have maybe 30 minutes of uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. What would the church life be if the majority of the saints would be spending 30 minutes of uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord? Our church life everywhere would change. But we're not there. I don't believe it. Even I don't know how much, how long, but I can tell we're not there. I can tell we're not there. Oh, dear saints, I hope we pray for this. And I hope we endeavor. Lord, this is what I want, so that I can be a channel of blessing for my family. Imagine having a God-man father of a family who starts his day before God for 30 minutes. That is the proper head of a household. A mother, and I know it's more challenging, especially if you have younger children. Sisters, please don't take even what I'm saying now, the 30-minute thing, as a kind of standard, as a something that give the ground, don't give the ground to the enemy to condemn. You know that's not my heart. But there are ways to have some quality time with the Lord. Even, I would say, make this a goal in raising your children to respect when mommy is reading her Bible. You just train them that way. I know sisters who have accomplished this, even with their first one, and then the others follow. It's mommy's God time. And I know, children are different. Different temperament, I know. But if you don't pray for it, you'll never get it. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask specifically for this. And the Lord may guide you. And it may not be at 6 a.m. It might be at 10 a.m. That's okay. That's the beginning of your day. The Lord will lead you. But what I'm trying to say, saints, is here is the beginning of the warfare. Not just saving our children from the world. Sometimes we focus on those things, on all the emergencies. Actually, maybe if we're spending that quality time with the Lord and then inquiring, making mention of them in our prayers, the Lord might guide us to shepherd the young people, the children, in another way that would prevent some of those emergencies happening. Think about it. The warfare is firstly in having our time with the Lord. I hope we would pray about this. Okay, now let's come to this outline. Outline number three. This outline, the title is sanctifying ourselves for the sake of the children. And this is based on John chapter 17. This is the word of the Lord in verse 19. This is part of his prayer to the Father. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus told the Father, you know, he was actually leaving them later that night. You know, this is the night. This is after the night of the Passover. The night of the institution of the Lord's table. The night of his betrayal. He prayed, and then they went to the Gethsemane. You know, they practiced the Lord's table for the first time. Then they went to Gethsemane. He says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. For those 3.5 years, while the disciples were with him in his ministry, Jesus was sanctifying himself. That's what he's saying. Think about it. Why would Jesus have to sanctify himself? Because he's holiness himself. He is sanctification. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of God you are in Christ Jesus, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is our sanctification. So why would sanctification need to sanctify himself? Because he's already sanctified for their sake. That's why. This means, and we'll read this here, it'll develop it. For the disciples' sake, There were some times that he didn't do certain things because they are men in the flesh. No problem for him to do or not do. But on purpose, because they're watching, he didn't do that. To be a pattern after he's gone. And then there's some things he did as a pattern. Okay, let's read the points. We can read Romans 1 altogether. Although the Son is absolutely holy in himself, he still sanctified himself in his way of living while he was on earth in order to set an example of sanctification. Let's start the reading with the brothers. Brothers, please read A. Sisters. Here we have John 4, verses 6, 7, and 27 as an example. I think we're all familiar with this chapter. This is the so-called Samaritan woman. And in verses 6 and 7, it says that Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from the journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. The disciples went into town to get provisions, food. And then in verse 27, it says... Now the Lord's speaking to the woman, and then eventually talks about the husbands, and then, oh, I want this water, and go call your husband, and this, and then it said, oh, then she said, oh, Messiah's coming, and anyway, eventually says, he who speaks to you, it's me, I'm the Messiah. Oh, and then she receives him really as the Savior. 27. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he was speaking with a woman. Did you ever notice this phrase here? Yeah. Yet no one said, "What are you seeking?" Or "Why are you speaking with her?" And then the woman left her water pot and went away into the city. Said to the people, "Come, see a man." You know, this is the background to the story. But it says there, the disciples are coming back with the food. You know, they're coming like they went shopping. You know, they're coming with the food. And as they're walking, Jesus is there talking to a woman. They marveled. Don't we have accounts of Jesus talking to women? Like, so many. I just talked about the Syrophoenician woman. This woman, that woman. What was different here? He was alone. So it seems that the Lord Jesus had this habit of not speaking to women alone, but always when they were present. And they saw this, they were like, wait, is that Jesus? Like they're walking, you know. Is that Jesus speaking to a woman? What? They were like, they marveled. That stuck out to them. Jesus, he had no sin in himself. He was in the likeness of the flesh of sin. So there's no lust involved. So there's no problem for him. For their sake. He apparently had this as his pattern. So careful in this area. Because after his departure, they're men in the flesh. And we all have the problem of lust. So we have a sanctified pattern to follow. It's marvelous. Brothers, see, in order for us
to be holy, we first need to be separated unto God.
Amen. Sisters? Brothers, two. Once a person is saved, he should also be separated. This is the reason a believer is called a saint, to be holy is to be separated unto God. Romans 2, together. Those who have children we should refrain from doing many things which we could do. There are certain, maybe, television shows that as a couple you're watching, certain language or certain images you watch. Now you have a child. You see something there, and right away, you're not free anymore. It's for their sake. Is that a suffering? Depends what your answer. But it's for their sake. In our words, we've illustrated a lot today about our speaking. When I touched the church life in New York, and moved to California for school, university, came back, was married, and I've talked to you sometimes in the past about Brother Benjamin Chen. He was one of the elders among us, one of the co-workers. within 2-3 months of my moving back to New York, he sat me down. I still remember this conversation, exactly where I was sitting in our little meeting hall there, not where we are now. I mean, it's been, renovated, expanded. And he said this to me. He said, you have demonstrated the burden to serve the Lord. And we'd like you to serve with us in this capacity with the young people. Would you be open to this? But if so, he says, I need to tell you this, that in serving people, and especially young people, what you do and how you live is more important than what you say. He says, when you go on vacation, where you go on vacation, now matters more. People see. Suppose there's a kind of church activity, but you choose that weekend to go on your vacation. You're free to do that. There's no rule. But just know that the young people will remember that more than a message that you give. And then he said, look at that sister over there. There was a sister in the far end of the hall. She loves the Lord and she's burdened for the young people. But the way she dresses undermines her service. And it was true. And she's sowing seeds concerning her daughters. Her daughters are very young at the time. It really, really bore out exactly what he said. So he was not condemning her. He was teaching me. You need to take care of yourself. How your manner of life, where you go, what you do, what you don't do. Oh, that was a great help. Brothers, I can tell you, that kind of perfecting, or a young brother, he saved me so much time. Learning lessons and making mistakes. Just in one talk, 30 minutes, I received, because I received it. Praise the Lord. Point A, I'll read this. Many strong believers would be raised up in our second generation if all the parents of this generation would be good parents. The future of the church depends on the parents. You know, this morning we read, the future of the church depends on the young people. But Brother Nee said, this is Brother Nee, the future of the church depends on the parents. What kind of person, pattern, priests and prayer. Depends on us. Amen. Point B talks about the Nazarite vow of abstaining from wine and anything related to its source. Really, this point is what it's saying is worldly entertainments. For their sake, we need to be careful how we enjoy the worldly entertainments. Point C. About the sisters, point C. We must see. Morality in conduct and in all moral judgments regarding right and wrong. We must set a high standard for what is ideal, and we must also set a standard for ourselves in spiritual matters. Brothers, one, a child may remember or forget what you say, but he sees surely will remain in him forever. He develops his sense of judgment from you, and he also develops his system of values from you. Sisters, every parent must remember that his actions will be repeated in his children. His actions will not stop with him. The whole life of Christian children depends on the behavior of their parents. Brothers, you must sanctify your words. When your children speak, they should also sanctify their words and be accurate with them. When you say something wrong,
you must make a point to admit your mistake. In this manner, you will train your children to sanctify their words.
Brothers, it's easy to read this. But to admit to our children, Daddy said this the other day. I don't know if you remember. I was wrong. I should not have said that. I want you to forgive me. I should not have criticized that brother that way. He's a wonderful brother. It's not so easy in action. But what kind of seed are you sowing into this? These children, to be able, this will be repeated in them. You know, it just said, your actions will be repeated. This will be repeated in them. You know what you're doing? You are setting them up to have a wonderful marriage in, you know, 15, 20 years. Because they'll admit when I'm wrong. Sorry, dear, I should not have said that. No, that's how you build a marriage. Forgive me. Sorry. I was wrong. Oh, how blessed words. Blessed words in a marriage. D. Sisters, we must control sacrificing their own freedom. God has committed a human body along with his soul into your hands. If we do not exercise self-control and give up our freedom, we will have a difficult time answering to our God in the future. Brothers, E, we must see that in order for us to bring the children to the Lord in a genuine way, we need to be a person who walks with God. We cannot send our children to the Lord merely by pointing our fingers to heaven. We have to walk in front of them. This is taking Enoch as a pattern. You know, sometimes we'd like to say, do what I say, not what I do. That doesn't work. And we're pointing, yes, children. But you don't. We have to lead them in the way we're walking. Even here, we've heard testimonies. Even here. In church history, we hear so many of the ones that were greatly used by the Lord. How did they first turn to the Lord? By their grandmother, by their mother, by their father. Stories about how they were touched with the piety of their own parents. And that became a kind of a guiding light to them their whole life. Even they turned away from it, the Lord brought them back by that. And eventually, what a great contribution to the body of Christ.
Amen.
For the sake of time, let's go to point F. It says, we must keep, preserve, safeguard our vessel clean in sanctification before God. Must be wholly separated, saturated with God, and also kept in honor for Him. Romans 3 talks about idols and gives the example, especially I think concerning Jacob and also the golden calf. You know, Jacob in Genesis 35, when he gave God that consecration, El Bethel, the God of the house of God, the Lord touched him. He has to get rid of all the idols, all the idols. Saints, it's good for us to exercise once in a while just to stop and have a longer period of time with the Lord to reconsecrate ourselves to Him and say, Lord, I want to give You again everything in my life. I give You every possession that I have. I give You my entire being from inside to outside. Lord, is there anything? Is there anything? My being is Your temple. And the way that You cleanse the temple in the Gospels, Lord, just have a walk through me. Is there anything there that doesn't please You? Maybe You start inside with Your mind. Maybe You start outside with Your eyes. Lord, the things that I look at, the things that I spend my time reading, the websites that I spend my time in, the apps that I'm, you know, invest my time in. I was going to use the word waste. But we're investing because we're sowing and reaping. Lord, is there anything you cannot be one with me in? Then I don't want it anymore. And so, Lord, You shine on me and then be my grace to say amen to Your word. Anything I listen to, Lord, my ears, I give my ears to You. The music that I listen to, the podcast that I listen to, the anything I listen to, Lord, I just present before You. Lord, my hands, what I handle, where I go, you know, now, before we would only go with our feet. Now we go with our hands or our thumbs. We go all over the world. Lord, I sanctify my thumbs. Sanctify my fingers. Sanctify my feet. Lord, my mind, where does my mind go? Lord, if there's anything, cleanse the temple. My emotion, Lord, what am I stuck to? What is that thing that I'm not satisfied in my life because I don't have that? And that's been the thing that actually I didn't realize has become Ezekiel 14:3, an idol in my heart. You know, I was surprised I came upon Ezekiel 14. I thought the idols in the Old Testament were all physical, and in the New Testament were in our heart. But the Lord Jesus said in Ezekiel 14, these men have idols in their hearts. I said, oh, they're just like us. Lord, if there's an idol in my heart, then come in and cleanse the temple. In my will, Lord, my will that doesn't go along with You. Lord, in my conscience, Lord, I want body, soul, spirit for you. Lord, my house, my apartment, my belongings, my car. There might be something somewhere in a drawer somewhere. Something from the past. Or something we borrowed and never gave back 7 years now. You wouldn't say you stole it, but actually, it's been 7 years. That seems like a robbery to me. Just to be cleansed inside. Everything in our life, Lord, I don't want anything to be an idol in my heart. Saints, it's good to do this even periodically. Maybe once a year. To have a new freshness with the Lord. For their sakes. Even not for your sake, for their sake. For the church's sake. But all of this, brothers and sisters, all of this. My burden is actually this. Let the word of God shine. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Luke chapter 15, we have the three parables of the shepherd, that the man that loses, one of the 100 sheep, the woman that loses one of the 10 coins, and the father that loses one of the 2 sons. The second one, the woman, she loses a coin. What does she do? She lights a lamp and sweeps. We should light a lamp and let him sweep. Lord, sweep in me. Find me. I don't know where I've been. Find me. For their sake, for my children's sake. If we have this experience, you know, actually, this, what we've been talking, I told you, is based on this verse. John 17:19. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. But John 17:17 says, what? Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We need to be in the word and let the word operate, work, speak, and set apart. Amen. Say, no, this is not holy. These words are not holy. This attitude is not holy. I don't like this. If you continue in this way, your children, you will reap something in your children. Let him speak to us that way. Okay, in Ephesians 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for us. That's verse 25. That he might present the church to himself glorious. That's verse 27. Not having spot, wrinkle, any such thing. But in between, how does the church loving Christ get the bride? By the washing of the water in the word. It says that he might sanctify her. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify her. By the washing of the water in the word. To be in the word and let the word wash away. I know, saints, we all know. It's easy to stand here and say these things. But there, I know. We all have experience. We say, amen, amen. Ooh, there's one thing. There's one thing, one area of our life. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's a struggle. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Stay in the word. I think it was this morning. In Isaiah, the word is like rain and snow, refreshing, watering. In Jeremiah, it says it's like grain, wonderful to feed. But it also says it's like fire to burn. Let the word supply you like rain, and then somehow that water becomes fire and burns something in you. And when you say, amen, Lord, amen, finally, the word becomes a hammer, smashes it. But let the word do it. You know, Hebrews says the word of God is living and operative. Let us experience that. Let him operate. Don't try to change, and don't be discouraged because you cannot change. Let him sanctify her. That's what it says. That he might sanctify her. Yes, yes. In John 17, it says, we sanctify ourselves. But in Ephesians, it says, he sanctifies us. Our sanctifying ourselves is actually our cooperation with his sanctifying us. And that cooperation will come when we spend time with him. In the morning, in his word, a little bit more. He will empower us in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's enough for this session. How about a little more, again, a little prayer with a couple of people around us. And brothers, do we open for testimonies? We have a good amount of time, right? I think feel free to share from anything of the day. Amen. A little prayer. Amen.